Let me invite you to open up a Bible with me this morning to Joshua chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23, as you know by now, we've been journeying through this book, this portion of God's Word, and we're coming near the end of this book. We're in the second to final chapter of the book of Joshua. And if you're using a Pew Bible, you can find our text this morning on page 187 or 188, right in that range. But we're in Joshua chapter 23 today, and we're going to hear from this leader, this human leader, Joshua, who's been leading God's people, who has led God's people after Moses across the Jordan River into the promised land, conquering those nations and dividing up the land. And today we come to chapter 23. And so as you find your place there, let me invite all who are able, would you join me standing for the reading of God's word, Joshua chapter 23. Listen to what takes place. The Bible says, after a long time had passed and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua, by then a very old man, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, I am very old. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered between the Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea in the west. The Lord your God will push them out for your sake. He will drive them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now I am about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. But just as all the good things the Lord your God has promised you have come to you, so he will bring on you all the evil things he has threatened until the Lord your God has destroyed you from this good land he has given you. If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you and you will quickly perish from the good land he has given you. Would you pause with me for a moment of prayer? Oh God, we thank you for your word. Lord, as we've just sung, we know that your word teaches us and tells us to trust you. So lead us to trust you now, to cling to you. Guide us by your spirit that we might understand who we are and who you call us to be. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, what if people could speak at their own funeral service? Wouldn't that impact the way that we listen? Not that long ago, I remember being part of one of our own church members' funeral services, and that was Aubrey Bernard, Mr. Aubrey Bernard, who was a senior adult, dear man who loved the Lord and loved the church, a fairly quiet man, but in preparing for his service, had the opportunity to look at his Bible and read some of his notes. And it sort of dawned on me in the preparation time that Mr. Bernard, in many ways, had contributed to and written his own funeral message, calling us to faith in the Lord and even giving particular parameters as far as what scriptures to be read and songs to be sung, but what would you say if you could speak at your own funeral? I mean, imagine giving a final message to those gathered to hear from you. And speaking at services, sometimes I've said something like, if our loved one could be here and speak today, I'm quite confident they would say something like, live for Jesus. Run after Jesus. Stop worrying about and chasing all of those other things. And keep your eyes on the one who's everything. Hold fast to him. Trust in him. Give your life to him. And in essence, right here in this chapter we've just read from the book of Joshua, Joshua's giving his funeral message. Joshua's giving his final words here, knowing he's about to die. He says, I am very old, verse 2. And I'm about to go the way of the earth. Verse 14, it's time for me to say goodbye, and here's what I want you to remember me saying. The Lord has kept his word completely. He's kept his word completely. Incredibly, this man doesn't say to these leaders, hey, I'm about to go, and when I'm gone, remember me this way. Don't forget how I led you, how I live. Don't forget what I did for you. He doesn't say, remember me. No, he says, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Remember the one who's kept his word completely. The one who's been faithful. In fact, near the end of Moses' life, Moses was, of course, Joshua's predecessor. Moses gathers Joshua and he instructs Joshua. He tells Joshua, he reminds Joshua that God is trustworthy. Going to read about this in Deuteronomy chapter 31. He reminds Joshua that the Lord's going to go with him and he's going to give him the promised land and he's going to do just what he said. And then at the beginning of this book that we've been journeying through in chapter 1, the Lord says the same thing to Joshua. Moses is now dead and the Lord speaks up to Joshua and he says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. And now fast forward, after a long time had passed, verse 1, Joshua says to the leaders, he did it. God did it. The Lord our God did just what he said he would do, and you guys know it because you were there. You saw God work. You yourselves, verse 3, have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Five times in this fairly short chapter, Joshua mentions God's promises. Five times. And each and every time he says, God did it. God fulfilled it. God gave it. Just as he said, and then he goes on in the next chapter, the final chapter, chapter 24, that we'll consider next week, to recount some of the particular things that God promised that he did. Particular things dating all the way back more than 600 years to the word he gave to Abraham, the call upon Abraham's life when he told Abraham, hey, go where I'm going to send you. Trust me, follow me, serve me. For one day, you're going to have numerous offspring and you're going to inherit, they're going to inherit this good promised land, and through your offspring, all nations of the earth will be blessed. In other words, Joshua was reflecting on his own life and the particular ways that God has been faithful and good to him. And you know, church, that's a good practice for us. Here we are still at the beginning of a year. We're in January of a new year, and how good and right and healthy it is for us to consider how God has been faithful to us in 2023. Because the same God who was with us in 2023 continues to be with us in 2024. To consider how he's led us, how he's been kind to us, how he's been faithful to us in the past, and how he'll continue to be so in to the future. You see, Joshua's reflecting on the faithfulness of God in his life, but not just in his own life, also in the centuries leading up to his life. In essence, Joshua's saying to the nation's next leaders, and that's who's gathered here. It says all Israel, but it's representative leaders of all of Israel. They're gathered together, and he says to them, God's faithful. He's always been faithful. Don't you forget it. He's always been faithful, and he'll always be faithful. So hold fast to him, verse 8. Put all your faith in him for all of your days. Now I wonder if there might be someone gathered here this morning that's wondering if God's trustworthy. We're just saying that, didn't we? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. How do we know? Wondering if God's interested in you, wondering if God cares about you, wondering if his promises and his plans apply to you, if they include you. I bet someone might say, yes, that's me. I'm wrestling with who I am and who he is and how these things fit together. Well, the answer to those questions, according to an old guy named Joshua, would be a resounding yes. Yes, he is. He's trustworthy. And yes, he cares for you. Yes, because God has kept his word completely. He kept it in my day, in Joshua's day, and before his day, and beyond his day, by fulfilling his greatest promise of sending someone to rescue and redeem us from our sin and our guilt so that we might be counted among his people. Oh, friends, you know his name. Church, you know of this one. You know about Jesus of Nazareth. You know about the line that the angel gave Joseph about Mary. She will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. You know Jesus of Nazareth, and yet he's been given the name that's above every name. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. For he is the Lord. He is Yahweh. He is the Lord your God. Joshua chapter 23 verse 8. In the flesh, Colossians chapter 2 verse 9. Sent to save sinners in fulfillment of God's good promises to rescue a people from every nation who would recognize his kingship. And who would be part of his kingdom, citizens of his everlasting kingdom who are experiencing his abundant blessing. Are you one of those people? Are you part of his kingdom? Are you counted among him, his? Well, friend, have you recognized his rule? If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Have you acknowledged that he's a God who fulfills all of his good promises, that he does just what he said, such as believing in your heart that God did raise him from the dead? Are you counted among his people, experiencing his abundant blessing? If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved. That's what God's done for us. Here in verse 3 of Joshua 23, Joshua says, this is what the Lord has done for your sake. This is a God who's fought all your battles. This is what the Lord has done for us. This is the greatest battle that he has fought for us. He sent a Savior in accordance with his promises for the glory of his name and the good of his people. Church, like Joshua here, let's remember and rehearse God's provision. Let's remember and rehearse God's provision. Let's remember what he's done. Some of you remember that old hymn. You remember perhaps singing it, growing up in church. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longings like nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. It will be my theme in glory to tell the old story of what? Of Jesus and his love. See, right here at the end of his earthly journey, Joshua's telling the story as he knows it. The story that prepares for and points to and finds its fulfillment in the coming of Jesus Christ. Paul would say it this way to Timothy. He said, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. He could have added something like, greater than Joshua, a better prophet than Moses, in fulfillment of God's promises to Abraham. This is my gospel. Let's remember and rehearse the good news that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Because God remains faithful to his promises. And not one of all of his good promises will fail. Friends, let's remember and rehearse God's provision, and let's worship and obey the God of salvation. Let's worship and obey the God of salvation. Joshua's message here is, number one, remember God's faithfulness to us. Remember that he's faithful. And number two, remain faithful to him. Remember and remain. Remember that there's no God like him. And keep trusting him. Keep worshiping him. Keep your eyes on him. Keep running after him. He says, be very strong, verse 6. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. I've shared a time or two before that I'm testing out the waters of coaching upward basketball this year. I've not done that before. This has been a stretch for me, but it's been a lot of fun. And we're just really focused on the basics. And one of the things that I've been telling my group of boys over and over and over again is eyes up. When you're dribbling the ball, eyes up. Know what's going on. Know where you are on the court. Know where the goal is. Know where your team is. Because we have a tendency as we're learning the game to look like this. We're protecting the ball. We're worried about the ball. We're holding the ball. Eyes up. See where you're going. Keep your eyes on the prize. In essence here, Joshua is saying to the people, keep your eyes up on the Lord. Don't turn to the right or the left. Don't get distracted by these things and these people and these other gods. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. See, his warning reveals that he's aware of their propensity toward idolatry. Something that's true of every human heart, this side of eternity. But perhaps something especially true for those surrounded by polytheistic peoples. Right, here's a people, the Israelites, that have come from Egypt, a land of idols. And now they're settling in Canaan, a place and a land characterized by people who worship idols. Joshua remembers the infamous golden calf episode. In Exodus chapter 32, he's fully aware of the issue with the Moabites and the worshiping of the Baal of Peor in Numbers chapter 25. Joshua seems to know both the depravity of the human heart and the faithfulness of the only God, the God who said to his people in Exodus chapter 20, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, who brought you out of the land of slavery. I'm the one. You shall have no other gods before me. You see, if Israel is to be a separate people and a light to all people, pointing to the living God, then if they turn from him to the gods of other peoples, he'll stop blessing them. For they'll no longer be distinct and a light to those peoples. If they intermarry with the idolatrous nations remaining in the land turning to their gods, then the only God, the one who brought them out of Egypt, will no longer fight for them, and he will eventually expel them from the land, eventually remove them from the land. I think we may need to hear the same warning. The warning, the true life, the abundant life, the eternal life, that Jesus promised is only found by looking
to the living God. Looking to Him. It's not found in chasing after anyone or anything else. Jesus said, come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Stop chasing after every imposter seeking to capture the worship of our hearts and start looking to the God of salvation. You see, the warning here in this chapter predicts the exile. If you know the history of the people of Israel, you know that conditions changed. The situation changed in a matter of years, a few hundred years. It predicts the exile when God's patience wore thin because His people kept breaking the word. God, who always kept His word, but His people kept breaking their word and turning away from Him and chasing after other gods, forgetting His faithfulness and failing to hold fast to Him. Friends, we're not talking about religious effort or moral perfection. For God is compassionate and gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love for sinners. But we're talking about hearts that have been captivated by His grace, having received His love and desiring to worship Him. See, Jesus would say it this way, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. And right here, Joshua is saying, follow the Lord. Follow Him. For God demands and deserves first place in our lives. And when we choose other gods over Him, we don't appear to be as His people. He is patient, but He will not endure idolatry forever. God will be worshipped. His kingdom will be realized. His promises will be fulfilled. He will be known, and He invites us to be part of it simply by turning and trusting in Him. And so here's the good news. The Lord's grace provides ample reason to gladly serve Him. The Lord's grace provides ample reason to gladly serve Him. More than enough reason for us to bow before Him. To acknowledge His supremacy with glad and sincere hearts because He's good. We need to hear Joshua's message here. That not one of all the Lord's good promises to you has failed. Yes, He's the Lord of armies. Yes, He's the Lord God Almighty. He's a jealous God who will not endure idolatry. But He's good and He's gracious. He's kind and He's patient. He's near and He's present with His people. And we're motivated by the God of mercy. The God who is worthy. And so Joshua says, verse 11, be very careful to love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God. Not just to submit to Him, but to love Him. You see, He wants our hearts. And our hearts will be restless until they find the rest in Him. You see, these folks here in Joshua didn't love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They didn't. Perhaps they did for a minute or a moment. Maybe even a season. But they didn't love the Lord with all their heart, soul, and strength. And friend, let me be honest with you this morning, neither have I. Truth be told, neither have you. And yet, even so, God didn't destroy them. And He hasn't destroyed us. For He had promised salvation would come from them. Specifically from a tribe among them. Specifically from the tribe of Judah. And so one day. Somebody say one day. One day. So one day, some 1400 years later. After Joshua. And about 500 years later, after the people of Israel returned back to the land following the exile, one day, a baby was born in Bethlehem of Judah who would be the Savior of the world. That's grace. Friends, that's faithful to fulfill promises of permanent salvation, and that church is reason enough for you and I to gladly serve Him. We love because He loved us first. We love because He first loved us. The psalmist would say it this way. David would pray. He said, show me the wonders of your great love. God, show me the wonders of your great love. And friends, in Jesus Christ, God has shown us the wonders of His great love. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Meadowbrook, the gospel calls us to keep trusting, calls us to keep holding fast, to keep serving Him, to hold fast to the Lord our God who saves. We can keep trusting the God who sent Christ to save so we might forever love Him. That's the message of Joshua chapter 23 in the greater context of God's word. We can keep trusting God. We can keep trusting the God who sent Christ to save so that we might forever love Him. God has fulfilled His greatest promise. He's fulfilled every one of His promises. He's fulfilled His greatest promise in Jesus, the only one to truly love the Lord with all His heart, soul, mind, and strength. And because He has, through faith in Him, we can. We can, being born again by His Spirit, giving us new hearts that long to know and to worship Him. And one day, friends, sin will no longer stand in the way, and we'll get to forever love Him. We'll get to forever worship Him, and to enjoy Him, and to trust Him, and to serve Him with all that we are. And so, until then, friends, let's hold fast to the goodness and the grace of our God. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, we turn to You, acknowledging that there is no one like You, that You are, yes, majestic. You are holy, as we've sung today. Or that You are over all and above all. You are the only God, the Lord God who reigns on high, and yet You're the Lord God who saves. One who is merciful and near. One who is kind and patient, one who has good plans to rescue and redeem sinners through faith in Christ. God, we thank You for Your faithfulness to Your word. God, we thank You for Your kindness toward us. God, we thank You for Jesus. Lord, guide us to praise Him. Guide us to follow Him. Guide us to live for Him. And it's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.